Time for that pop culture love fest for the slightly obsessed. Pack Rat Planet Radio. And here's your host, Stephen Pitalo.
Hi, everybody. It's Stephen Pitalo. Good to see you. Or hear you, as it were. Welcome to the first edition of Pack Rat Planet Radio, the throwback pop culture love fest for the slightly obsessed, where we're going to talk about music, movies, TV, and more from the 20th century. We'll celebrate anniversaries. We'll see what the stars of the era have as far as new projects are concerned. We'll do some trivia. We'll have some fun. And if you're tuning in for Liam McEnany, he's back next Sunday at 5. We are a monthly show, and that's what we call it, Pack Rat Planet Radio. Joining me today is a fellow pop culture freak, the one and only Kathy Cervenka from Kathy Land.
Hello, Stephen.
Hi. How are you, Kathy? Good to hear you.
Doing great.
Kathy Land is a fantastic collective of really talented folks producing throwback music events with great themes from individual artists like Pat Benatar, A Cheap Trick, to full-blown explosions like Madonna-thon and so much more. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure to be here.
Great. Now, we're going to have a bunch of different segments on this show that are all related to throwback pop culture, music, movies, etc. So let's go ahead and get started with the Rock Dog Report. Rock Dog! Yes, that's it. It's just the it's called the Rock Dog Report. Basically, this is our legacy band tour update for this month. So let's take a look at who's on the road. Oh, you can catch Hall & Oates in Akron, Ohio on the 24th, June 26th in Red Bank, and June 27th in Atlantic City. Kathy, have you ever seen Hall & Oates?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Every year.
Oh, cool. Now, June 29th in Selby, Delaware. I'm sorry, Selbyville, Delaware. No, I shouldn't have said Selby. That's actually the single guy friend character on the Paul Reiser Helen Hunt series Mad About You, who was quickly written out of the show. For those of you who recall that. Maybe it's just me. I hope
Stephen,
not.
The slightly obsessed part of the show is showing.
Exactly. Thank you. And I appreciate it. Once again, let's see who else is on tour. I'm sorry. By the way, if you can't make it to see Hall & Oates, you can always catch the Hall & Oates tribute band, the Out of Touch Band, playing Friday, June 19th in Reading, Connecticut. They receive the complete Pack Rat Planet Radio and Stephen Pitalo personal endorsement, because they played my birthday party in 2008. So I have to tell you, those guys are awesome. They play plenty of 80s, plenty of Hall & Oates. And we'll have a little bit more Hall & Oates in the broadcast later. Also, on the road, Robert Cray, June 8th at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center in Arlington Heights, Illinois. June 11th at Mesa, Arizona at the Akita Theater. June 12th at the House of Blues in Anaheim, California. And June 13th at the Ironstone Amphitheater in Murphy's, California. June 14th, you can catch them at the San Diego County Fair in Del Mar. Before heading to Europe for a tour, we wish Robert the best. I remember Robert Cray, a great blues artist who actually made a breakthrough in the MTV era.
Right.
I think it was Right Next Door because of me, and Strong Persuader. Those were some great hits. We always like to give a shout-out to B.B. King's here in New York. They always have great, great throwback bands. You can get two great 90s female vocal groups this month. On the 19th, SWV is playing, and on the 27th, En Vogue. Also on the road, Cheap Trick with Peter Frampton on a massive tour this summer. Kathy and the Kathy Land folks put on a great, great show called Cheap Trick or Treat. Kathy, actually, how did that sort of come about?
It came about because I love Cheap Trick, and I wanted a chance to sing all those amazing songs, so I thought it'd be great to get a band together, and actually the name came first. What can I say? I thought Cheap Trick or Treat has got to happen, and I'm going to do it. And then we made it from there, and we dress up like it's Halloween, and we sing Cheap Trick, and we have a great time.
Yeah, it's a fantastic show. If you guys can catch it on or about Halloween, there's always a show, so that's fantastic.
And July 17th, we have one at Brooklyn Bowl.
Oh, that's fantastic. July 4th, the Foo Fighters' 20th anniversary blowout in D.C. at the 930 Club is one that you really want to try to get. I don't know if there's any tickets left, and they're not cheap, but listen to this. This is what you get. The Foos, naturally, Heart, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Buddy Guy, Gary Clark Jr., LL Cool J, D.C.'s Trouble Funk, and a little shot in New Orleans there. It's Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue. Holy moly, what a great lineup. If you can get in to see that, that's awesome. The next one we have here, we're going to do some festival picks. I always try to take a look at what's going on in the festival circuit. The annual Greeley Stampede in Greeley, Colorado has a very interesting lineup on the 27th and 28th of this month. On the 27th, Saturday, Whitesnake with special guest Night Ranger. Sunday, the 28th, Kenny Rogers with special guest Ronnie Millsap. I'm not sure that they know each other is playing. I would love to be in the poker game, though. That would be what a wonderful idea. Additionally, the Rock, Ribs, and Ridges Festival in Sussex County, New Jersey is also Saturday, June 27th, and Sunday, June 28th. But if you can make it out to this one, on the 27th, Pat Travers Band, Blue Oyster Cult, and Lou Graham, the voice of Foreigner. Sunday, Artemis Pyle Band, Marshall Tucker Band, and Charlie Daniels Band, if you can believe that. So that's a whole lot. You can learn more about that one at rockribsandridges.com. Honestly, that weekend I can't make it. I'm actually at the Mets game, but you know what? After the Mets play on the 27th, Steve Miller, the Joker Smoker Midnight Tooker himself, doing a show.
Wow.
And I still call it Shea. I'm sorry. You can call it what you want, but it's still Shea Stadium. Def Leppard, Styx, and Tesla also on a Southern tour. And let's see, where are they playing? Oh, June 23rd at the Mid-Florida Credit Union Amphitheater. Coral Sky Amphitheater, West Palm Beach, Florida on the 25th. On the 27th, Oakmont Mountain Amphitheater. A lot of amphitheaters on this tour. On the 27th in Birmingham. And on the 28th, Aaron's Amphitheater in Lakewood in Atlanta. They have a big sound, Def Leppard, Styx, and Tesla. Let me tell you that. Anyway, and speaking of Tesla, sometimes in the pop culture universe converges in a trio, triplet, trifecta of awesomeness. And when that happens, we are ready. This is a game segment that we like to call Rule of Threes. Rule of threes, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm in awe of that.
I know. BGs plus rule of threes equals cheese, which is fantastic, I think. But let me tell you how rule of threes works. I'll tell you the convergent word or term, and you have to guess which of the three iterations I'm talking about when I give you a clue. Now, this is a little easier to understand once you play. So let's go with today's rule of threes. Kathy, are you ready?
I think I'm ready.
Okay. Today it's Tesla, man, car, or band. Now, when I give you the clue, you have to guess as to which Tesla I am referring to. Either Nikola Tesla, the genius inventor and scientist, Tesla, the car and car company founded by Elon Musk, or Tesla, the 1980s heavy metal band.
Okay.
I give you the clue, you tell me the man, the car, or the band.
Okay.
Here's the clue. I messed it up already. Electromechanical oscillator. Electromechanical oscillator.
The man.
That is correct, Kathy. Way to go. The electromechanical oscillator is a steam-powered electric generator patented by Nikola Tesla in 1893. Ooh. Very, very good. Okay, that's one. We're going to do another one. Are you ready?
I think I'm ready.
All right. Remember, it's Tesla. The man, the car, or the band.
Got it.
Mechanical resonance. Mechanical resonance.
The car.
That is incorrect. It's the band, ladies and gentlemen. Tesla's platinum 1986 album was called Mechanical Resonance and included the quasi-hit Modern Day
They're
Cowboy.
So clever how they utilized an actual technical term.
I think the whole...
you think that was why?
I think it's part of the whole idea there. And Edison's lighthouse was apparently already taken.
Wow.
So there you go. wow. Fantastic. Okay, our last clue, which would have been, it would give it away, obviously, is for the car, was a commodity cell, which is something that Tesla cars use thousands of. The lithium ion 18650 commodity cells used in the cylindrical battery cells. I know. Fascinating. Anywho.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Fascinating.
Exactly. And speaking of, Tesla being on the road with Styx and Def Leppard. Have you ever seen either of those bands, Def Leppard or Styx?
I've seen Def Leppard and Styx separately.
Oh, okay. How long ago did you see Def Leppard, actually?
I'd say at least 5 years ago.
And how's Joe Elliott's voice holding out?
Even then, it's tough. He's got tough vocals to do. I don't think he by any means sounds like he did. He's not a phenomenon like Robin Zander or one of those people. But it's serviceable and enjoyable, and the other band members are there, so you're not just watching a cover band doing a band like Foreigner is now.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it.
Good point. Yes, yeah. Lou Gramm out at the Rock Ribs and Ridges Festival if you want to hear the real voice of Foreigner. Def Leppard, I saw them on the Hysteria tour, in the one in the round, where I think they shot the Poured Some Sugar on Me.
I think that's where they were sneaking down, remember, under the stage, supposedly engaging in all sorts of debauchery.
Back the 80s.
Back in the sigh.
Back in the freaking 80s.
Do you have a sound effect for the sigh of 80s debauchery that we need?
I tell you what, I'll research that.
Can you work on that? Sounds, some drug sounds.
You know what? I think at the beginning of Every Rose Has Its Thorn, Brett Michaels lets out a big sigh, doesn't he?
Yes, okay. That's perfect.
I'll have to pull that in for next
time. Love it.
Goodness. All right. Our next area of expertise is an area we see lots of concerts and shows here, and we'd love to tell you all about them. And this is a segment called It's Showtime.
Showtime!
Yeah, that's it. This week we talk about Billy Idol. I was lucky enough to see the Billy Idol concert at the JBL Live at Pier 97 series this past May 29th. It was a fantastic show, I have to tell you. The opening band, there's a group of ladies named Katarina from Philadelphia. They seemed a little bit indie for the gig, but let me tell you, they weren't on for long. Billy Idol came out hard charging from the get-go. The guy is still an amazing powerhouse on stage. He's still snarling up a storm. I mean, he was holding court like an elder statesman.
Wow.
It was fantastic. Stevie Stevens, still in the band, still knocking it out.
How's his hair? How's the hair?
It still looked like a pineapple.
It's great.
And you know what? He's still making music. He's recorded a couple of flamenco albums, and they gave him a few flamenco breaks to show off the style. And it was really great. The crowd really took to it. Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised, but I think they're all just happy to see those guys alive in general.
I think they are, too.
We heard all the great ones, Dancing With Myself, Rebel Yell, Cradle of Love,
awesome.
His cover of The Doors' L.A. Woman, which is really, really great. White Wedding. He even did an acoustic break of Sweet 16, which is, that was a follow-up to Be a Lover, I think. And then he knocked it out of the park in the encore with his cover of Tommy James and the Shondells' Money Money, which...
I love that one.
A bar favorite, as I recall. He also played... I remember that he played one from his Generation X days.
The best.
Yeah, and we'll give that to you right here. From 1979, from Generation X, this is Ready, Steady, Go.
We'll be right back.
fantastic. That was Generation X with Ready, Steady, Go. Fantastic. I can't tell you enough that this Billy Idol concert was really, really good. And what's funny is a decade ago, I saw him at the Hammerstein Ballroom, and he looked tired and worn.
I saw him at that, too.
You saw it?
Yeah, I was there.
And I was really wondering if this was
if he would make it.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
He was in bad shape.
Yeah, but he was full on. He did like six songs shirtless. The guy's like 85 years old, and he's still out there trying to, you know, bear it all.
You know? Well, he, you know, he recently wrote a book about his life, he kind of came clean in terms of admitting to, like, I think a way more a really rough lifestyle that we all could have guessed it, but I don't think we all knew about it. So I think he probably was really close when we saw him before to the end of his career. So I think, you know, he turned it around, which is I always love that story.
Yeah, and also it's also when they still have the voice.
Absolutely.
I mean, there are so many of these. I hate to, you know, call out names or anything.
Because we love them all. We love them all.
Of course we do, Boy George. But I've seen a few that it's just...
not there.
And why does nobody say anything? Why does nobody tell them that
it's
this
money.
Is not going
it's
to...
money. Tour right. money. It doesn't matter because they sell the tickets. And if you're a fan, you buy the ticket. You're still hopeful. We still do it sometimes.
We do. You're right.
And then you show up and you may be sad and you may talk about it later, but you paid the money. And that tells them they should keep doing it because they need the money, some of them, who aren't doing so well.
That's true. But in the age of the internet and with everybody reviewing
right.
and commenting.
Absolutely.
I'd hate to have a concert Yelp page it's like, good God, this guy.
I agree. All these, it's heartbreaking. And I mean, I think we see it more with the female diva types. Like everyone's just getting ripped up daily. Although some, like Mariah Carey, deserve it. To me, if it's my 80s rock idol, then I always feel bad. Some people I don't feel so bad. But to me, if you don't have your voice, I would personally rather retire and gracefully.
Yeah.
And do something else with yourself.
Speaking of Grace, Grace Slick, actually, I've heard a few interviews with her, and she's like, rock and roll is for young people. Mm-hmm. I'm a grandmother, and I'm not going to do this anymore. And she actually, I think, still has some of her voice, but she decided, no, that's not the way it's going to work.
Right.
So, unfortunately, no more, then again, nobody's waiting in line
to
hear.
Are we crying? I don't know.
Nobody's going to wait in line to see to hear Nothing's Going to Stop Us Now. So, anyway, let's see. What do we got? Coming up, we're going to have some interview stuff a little bit later. But in the meantime, actually on the JBL Live Pier 97 stage coming up on July 11th, it's going to be the Bare Naked Ladies on their Last Summer on Earth tour with openers Violent Femmes, of all people, which is fantastic, as well as wonderful artist Colin Hay, lead singer of Men at Work. I actually saw him do a one-man show at Westbeth over a decade ago, and it was amazing. He's a great storyteller. Mm-hmm. Don't miss that. So, if you get out to Pier 97, the tickets say 6 p.m. That's when the gates open. It's not when it starts. I made that mistake this last time, and I got there, and it was just me and the food trucks. So make sure you get out there for that one. I think the last time I saw the Violent Femmes was 1994 at Zephyr Fest in New Orleans.
Wow.
And they were great. That was quite a show overall, Zephyr Fest. Anyway, keeping up with that, here's the Violent Femmes with Nightmares.
It seems that the problem is very... Thank you.
fantastic. The Violent Femmes with Nightmares off their album 3. So don't miss them on the JBL Live stage at Pier 97 on July 1st with Bare Naked Ladies and Colin Hay of Men at Work. Now we're going to get to a segment we'd like to call Checking In.
I'm checking in.
He's checking in.
I'm checking in.
Checking in. So I'm sorry.
Is that a Tony's tribute for tonight?
Oh, we'll be talking about the Tonys a little bit later. Okay. Let me tell you.
Okay, Stephen.
Yeah, but in the meantime, I'm sorry. On a more serious note, Norman Greenbaum, who we all know, singer and songwriter of Spirit in the Sky, unfortunately was involved in a bad car accident a few months ago and has been recovering. But we just wanted to give a shout out to him. He's finally at home now and rehabilitating, and we just want to say that our thoughts are with Norman. At this time, and we just wanted to play this because we love you, Norman. Take care of yourself.
I'm gonna go to the place, that's the place.
once again, our thoughts go out to the great Norman Greenbaum. Get well soon.
Get well, Norman.
And next on Checking In, we're checking in with Kevin Griffin from New Orleans band Better Than Ezra. Their album Deluxe and their multi-platinum single Good, a radio staple, this time 20 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Kevin has actually emerged as a major songwriter in pop and country, collaborating with everybody from Blondie to John Oates to Meatloaf to Sugarland. And Better Than Ezra continues to tour to sold-out audiences. And I was lucky enough to speak to Kevin not too long ago, and I asked him to recall what it was like seeing their video on MTV for the first time.
I'm a child of MTV. You know, it was 82 when MTV started? 81? It was 81 when MTV started. You know, and I would just remember it all the way down to, you know, the Buggles, you know, Video Killed the Radio Star, and Ultravox, and, you know, and it was very left of center, and it was just really cool. And so it really was, you know, in 120 minutes was, you know, my bread and butter for how did I get introduced to new bands. So when suddenly, you know, we were in New Orleans with Chris Applebaum, who had made great, you know, classic videos for Ween and, well, Ween, you know, and we were making this video and this song that had just become this, was this idea and a song we played in bars around the South. Suddenly it was this physical thing. It was this video, and the song took off on radio, and then it was all over MTV. And we hosted 120 minutes at the height of it for, you know, and it was still to this day is was a great moment. So it was just really kind of a, like, when you had your song on MTV in heavy rotation and just being played, it was almost like we've arrived moment, you know, and it was a validation. You know, it's not that way anymore, but there was that moment where MTV was the arbiter of success.
Now, funny enough, the third cut off the album Deluxe was a song called Rosalia. And if you watch the video closely, you'll notice that Rosalia is played by a very young Selma Hayek.
Interesting.
Yeah. Although she's a very established telenovela star in Mexico at the time, she was not that well known here. I think Desperado, I think, was about to come out. And Kevin claims that he went salsa dancing with her after the video. I'll have to ask Selma about that. Well, yeah. I'm not sure, but if I ever meet Selma, I think I'm going to have to confirm that.
Yes.
Kevin.
Please do.
So, also on Pack Rat Planet Radio, you guys can always hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Pack Rat Planet Radio, and let us know what you think of the show and if there's anything you want to hear or want to know about. We also like to throw some New Orleans stuff in here on the wonderful radio show. So, we're going to kill two birds with one stone from our New Orleans band, Better Than Ezra. Big Cup, this one's for you. You're listening to Pack Rat Planet Radio at Radio Free Brooklyn.
This one could be your last. jealousy can rip your heart out, and jealousy can turn a hand into a
Better than Ezra. New Orleans' own Better Than Ezra, although I still like to refer to them as Baton Rouge's own Better Than Ezra with Rosalia. Fantastic interview with Kevin, and hopefully we'll be seeing more of Better Than Ezra right here in New York City very soon. Next up, Michael DeBar. It was an interview I got to do not too long ago. He is frontman extraordinaire, former lead singer of Silverhead, Checkered Past, and replaced Robert Palmer in the Power Station. He currently has a fantastic new solo album called Key to the Universe. And here's my favorite track off of there. It's called Supernatural Lovers.
The supernatural lovers with the key to the universe. You don't need a daddy, I don't need a nurse. A shooting star, hatred in reverse. A supernatural lovers with the key to the universe.
The heartbeat of an electric muse. You are dynamite, and I light the fuse. Star-crossed lovers, heaven sent. Part of a grand experiment. Guilty of lust, I stand accused. It's you I trust, it's you I choose. Don't be nervous, be excited. The hungry crowd will eat and delight. Has a price, and love is not for sale. We've got no secrets. Got no secrets to hide. Why don't you come inside? Drug and don't leave a track.
babe, with the key to the universe. We're supernatural lovers with the key to the universe. You don't need a daddy, I don't need a nurse. I need a shooting star, hatred in reverse.
Michael DeBar, coming at you with Supernatural Lovers off the Key to the Universe. 1985 was a huge year for Michael, since he joined the Power Station as the lead singer and got to play Live Aid. Kathy, what do you recall from watching Live Aid in 85?
Besides, it was my whole life, and me and my friends were waiting, you know, counting down. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Like, counting down, when is this happening? Trying to bribe my mother into letting me fly to be at one of them. Like, mother, please. I lived in Central Florida, was not going anywhere. And that didn't happen. And I just remember those standout moments, like you two, where the whole Bono coming out in the audience, the dancing with that girl and the Bad playing. I mean, it was like, it really was just this magical experience, the whole thing. But you had to watch so many hours of it that those standout moments really were just the highlights, because you were in between. There was some bands like we'd never heard of. Do you remember how they had Ultravox on there and some things that weren't as familiar to America? Mm-hmm. Paul Young got to come out. You know, people that now you look back and you're amazed were in it. But that's what makes that show amazing, is the assortment of people. And Phil Collins flying from one show to the other.
That's right. I remember that. I just thought,
of all people, Phil Collins. Like, couldn't you maybe fly someone a little more exciting?
I'm teasing.
Poor Phil. And Madonna got her moment, even though everyone at that point was kind of against Madonna because they thought she couldn't really sing.
Well, and also
the
Playboy pictures.
Nude pictures. Yep. And she's like, I'm not taking... off today.
That's
all that.
Right, I remember
and
that.
I kind of respected her for that, but then she dyed her hair red and tried to look more respectable. Right. It was just a whole interesting time.
And the Thompson Twins were the backup band for her. And they also did the Beatles Revolution together.
Right.
That was pretty
there
amazing.
There are some weird things.
As far as the Power Station, I remember them playing Live Aid. I remember they did Bang a Gong and they did Murderous. Have you ever seen a movie called Sugartown? That it was Michael DeBar, John Taylor, and Martin Kemp.
I think I watched it just because of John Taylor.
I think most people probably did. But he did a great job in that.
He's a good actor.
Michael's had a great career just as an actor as well. I mean,
on TV shows, amazing.
He was he played MacGyver's nemesis, Murdoch. And don't forget, he played the lead singer of Scum of the Earth on the Hoodlum Rock episode of WKRP. Now, I was lucky enough to get to talk to Michael a little bit about just everything going on with him.
So cool.
And we went to Manitoba's in the East Village, probably the only hard rock bar left in the East Village. We talked about the album and all kinds of stuff, but he was more than open to talking about WKRP and Scum of the Earth. So I asked him what he thought about and what he remembered about that.
So Charles Weatherby, rock god. I think if there's... If I could count one hand the things that I am remembered for, that would be one of them. I don't know why it struck a nerve. I think it's when we came on the set, they had us in all the gear. Union Jacks, fucking safety pins, punk. But I said, that's not funny. Put them in suits.
You said that?
Yes, of course I did. I said, put them in suits. Give me some stupid title. And we can say, throw them out the car. It's so much funnier when you see us throwing the TVs out the window. We've seen that 1,000 times. That's not funny anymore. That's Spinal Tap. That's already been done. Why didn't you have them dressed like aristocrats and be a bunch of assholes? That's funny.
Wow.
And Hugh, who conceived of the show, Hugh Wilson, brilliant, said, Michael, that is genius. I said, do I get any piece of syndication rights because of this here? Do I get money for the, And he said, fuck up. I said, all right, no problem.
At the end, when you're doing the concert, a stream of profane obscenities are coming out of your mouth, and you can't hear it, but you can see everything
you can see
you're saying.
Fuck you. I mean, because first of all, it was one of my last binges. But I'd spent the whole week on coke. The whole week I was like, awake. So when it came to tape night, I was, that's why it's so funny, because it's not acting. I meant every word of it. And the timing was perfect. Everything just fit into place for some mad reason. And people just really responded to it over the years. Scum of the Earth became this legendary rock band, which of course never existed, which I think is on a Jean-Luc Godard level perfect. It's yes. So Dada.
Thank you, Michael. Pick up his new album, The Key to the Universe. It's pretty fantastic.
He sounds like a great time.
He had the best,
like a fun, best storytelling friend.
Let's just say that he was roommates with Don Johnson for 2 years. So you can just imagine what happened there.
And that's where the whole Pamela DeBar common factor comes into play.
Yes, and the fact that the Power Station were on Miami Vice. So mm-hmm. There you go. Up next, John Oates talks about the adult education video in our Video Rewind segment. In 1984, the second single released from Daryl Hall and John Oates' first greatest hits compilation, Rock and Soul Part 1, was Adult Education, a weird and slightly dark take on high school politics and a smart follow-up to their big hit, Say It Isn't So. When I spoke to John Oates earlier this year, he gave us his thoughts about the Adult Education video, and let me tell you, he ain't happy.
Method of Modern Love and Adult Education are probably the two. They were stupid, okay? It was stupid. This, the record company, we were so big. You got to understand something. In the 80s, we were like Justin Bieber or Justin Timberlake or whatever, you know. We were at the top of the pop world. When you're at the top of that world, time is your enemy. You don't have time to do all the things and to cover all the bases and to make sure that everything is the way it should be, because you're being pushed and pulled in every direction, and it's a complete blur of success, commercial success. And honestly, as an aside, I was less happy in the 80s than I was in any part of my time in my entire career, even though it was our most popular period commercially. But here again, and to make a long story short, we were on the road, we were traveling, we were writing, we were recording. Record company said, you need a video, Adult Education, it's your single, you need a video. We said, sure, we don't care. Yeah, let's do a video. They hired an English director. We never even met the guy, didn't talk about the concept. We showed up at a soundstage in Queens, and there was all these people dressed like natives and half-naked girls, people shaking sticks with fire. And we were like, what the fuck is this? And we were like, okay, it's post-apocalyptic New York. And we're like, this song is about evolving from youth to adulthood, and the fact that adulthood is just a extension of high school, and it's a metaphor. This is not about a post-apocalyptic New York. And we, of course, dressed in the stupid clothes and shook sticks and did all that shit. So, I don't know. Look, that like I said, I had a problem with that whole thing, and here again, if I had any regrets, I'd go back and take a little more care with some of those videos.
I bet you would. Well said, John. I've said it before, and I'll say it again.
Wow, I'm in love.
It's a testament to the talent of Hall & Oates that their big hits couldn't be killed by their crappy videos. I'm telling you. Man, what an earful that was.
John Oates has a lot to say. I think everyone needs to know that.
Yes, he does. And let's just follow that up with you and I were actually talking earlier about the fact that Rock and Soul Part 1 is a greatest hits before it was a greatest hits, because
right.
It had all their hits up to 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put two new singles on it, Say It Isn't So and Adult Education, which both became hits.
Exactly.
So it was like a pre-greatest hits.
They're psychic.
Who could do that now?
Well, there's just, right.
Absolutely nobody.
Right.
All right. Well, take a listen. It's Adult Education.
Let you go, and the lock will slam on the
right, it's all still high school. According to Jono, it's we're all still in high school.
That's
which,
right.
You know what? I think Ron Howard has said that in a few interviews I've seen.
But Steven, now you're one of the most popular kids because you have your own radio show.
Gee, don't I wish. I still got the Let's Just Be Friends speech at the prom, so can't change things like that. Let's talk a little bit more about the 80s. And actually, you remember the tequila dance scene in Pee Wee's Big Adventure?
Of course.
Yeah? Where he's taking the beer mugs, he's throwing them on the floor, and he's saying, ah, breakdancing! Well, funny enough, breakdancing in film is the subject of our really hard trivia question.
Really hard trivia questions. They're hard.
That's right, they're hard. By answering today's really hard trivia question by Twitter, and we're changing our hashtag. Its hashtag is PackRatPlanet. So give us an answer if you can, and hashtag PackRatPlanet so we can catch you. If you answer this question, you can win a copy of Pee Wee's Big Adventure on DVD,
Whee!
Along with some Pee Wee's Playhouse trading cards.
Yeah.
So here is the question. Are you ready? What actor won the Academy Award in the 1980s for a role where he was breakdancing? That's right. What actor won the Academy Award in the 1980s for a role where he was breakdancing? Give us a tweet, hashtag PackRatPlanet, and you could win a copy of Pee-wee's Big Adventure on DVD, along with some Pee-wee's Playhouse trading cards.
Fine.
Anyway, we'll be checking in and see who's answering that. But in the meantime, the Tony Awards are tonight. I'd like to say just a personal shout out to Adrian Brian Brown, a good friend of mine who is receiving an honorary Tony. Congratulations to you, Adrian. But as we all know, The Elephant Man is nominated for Best Revival, along with Bradley Cooper, Patricia Clarkson, and Alessandro Nivola. They're all nominated for their roles. And as you may remember, this classic play is based on the real life story of a 19th century Brit, John Merrick, severely disfigured. He was the star of a traveling freak show. And this play has actually been performed many times on Broadway, once very famously by David Bowie, I believe.
Right.
Now, a film by David Lynch, starring John Hurt and Anthony Hopkins, made as well. But this leads me back to the Tony Awards, because I think they're really, really missing an opportunity here. Because 80s fans will recall a film, a 1989 romantic comedy called The Tall Guy, starring Jeff Goldblum and Emma Thompson. Fans of this film will recall that Jeff Goldblum comes to prominence as an actor playing John Merrick in an ill-conceived musical version of The Elephant Man called Elephant with an exclamation mark. You must seek out this film. The Tall Guy is so, so good. Yes, they really had dancing elephant men choruses. The film was written by Richard Curtis, who he used similar rom-com ideas in Four Weddings and a Funeral and Love Actually and Notting Hill, but it's really quirky kind of performances from Goldblum and Thompson, and you really have to see the numbers in this to believe it. The ballad, He's Packing His Trunk.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And somewhere up there in heaven, there's an angel with big ears.
Which oh, is the, my gosh.
I know. Really, really hard to believe. All right. Let's see. Do we have a winner on our really hard trivia question yet? Once again, question being, what actor in the 1980s won the Academy Award for a role in which he was breakdancing? And, ooh, at HalDavid224 has a correct answer. The correct answer is Don Ameche in Cocoon.
Wow.
That's right, Don Ameche in Cocoon.
Do we have some music for that?
No, of course not. Because the breakdancing music that they used in Cocoon was, of course, some cheap knockoff, etc., you know, sort of thing going. But congratulations to Hal.
Yay,
David. We're
going
to send out a fantastic Pee Wee's Playhouse DVD for this guy. And anyway, consequently, that's about it for the show. Wow. I know. I think we had a pretty good
flew
time
by.
Here. Tell you what, I'm going to give you guys one more trivia question. And then we're going to send it out in a minute. But what longtime CBS soap opera actor was also the bass player of a 70s one-hit wonder band? Anyone?
I know.
You do?
Sure.
Oh,
I
come on.
I do.
Well, who is it?
Ron Moss.
Ron Moss of Bold
because
and the Beautiful.
Because he was hot on Bold and the Beautiful.
Ridge Forrester.
Ridge.
He was the bass player for Player, whose big hit was Baby Come Back.
Amazing.
That's right.
And his hair was amazing, everyone. That's what you need to know.
His hair was amazing.
Forget that song. Oh. Let's talk about his hair.
That's it for everyone. I'd like to thank my wonderful guest, Kathy Cervenka. Check out what's up with her at KathyLand.com. She's got classic album night coming up
with
in July.
With a C. Kathy Land with a C.
Kathy Land with a C. Classic album night coming up in July. Madonna-thon in August.
Yep.
Next time, we're going to be talking about the upcoming New Orleans Running of the Bulls. I know.
Ouch.
Pretty amazing stuff. And we're also going to be talking about all kinds of other wonderful pop culture stuff. But our guest in the studio is going to be New York funk keyboardist Jason Udoff, plus all the throwback content that we can cram in. Anyway, I'm Stephen Pitalo.
I'm Kathy Cervenka.
You can catch me on Twitter at Stephen Pitalo. And on the interwebs at goldenageofmusicvideo.com for interviews and more at musicvideotimemachine.com for upcoming music video events. You're listening to Pack Rat Planet Radio on Radio Free Brooklyn. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you. And be good to yourself.